This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning, Melbourne, and around the world. It is the tag team on Joy 94.9 with Harry Hunter and Dave the Apprentice.
It is 21 minutes to 7, guys. It's 13 degrees, but we're heading for a top of 21, which, you know, we've done worse for this time of year.
Yeah.
We've done worse.
Yes. Like it.
Coming up, guys, I want to talk to you all about, you know, well, I'm 30 years old. I'll be honest now at the intro, and then I'm going to tell you later that I'm considering...
What? You don't look a day over 21.
Aww.
That is so sweet.
That's really cute, Harry.
I'm considering lying about my age, and you might have just given me the encouragement I need, Harry.
Yeah.
So I think so.
Aww. I'm going to be talking about those, you know, those things in the back of your cupboards that you've bought and they just keep haunting you every single day.
Boyfriend.
No, Dave's checked his cupboard. He ain't got one of them.
Thoroughly looked through there. Nothing's happening. And guys, we're going to be chatting to Handsome Music, a.k.a. Caitlin Park. After he talks, very excited. I'm very excited.
Very exciting.
Here he comes, folks. It's Dave coming across the field. What's he got this time? Is it a skirt? No, it's just a long pair of skorts. It's Dave's Sports Wrap.
Thanks, Hunter. And overnight, the EPL, we have our first casualty. It's the Everton manager, Ronald Koeman, has been sacked.
Oh, not Ronald.
Already, I know.
Is it a new thing? Good on him.
Yeah. he's had a poor start, losing 5-2 to Arsenal over the weekend. That's securities. Out of you go, mate.
Get out of here.
Also, Gary Ablett has returned home to the Geelong Cats in the trade period on Friday. The trade took 2 weeks to happen, and it finally got confirmed at 2 p.m. with Geelong sending a few draft picks over to
That's
Gold Coast.
Dave's team, Geelong.
Oh, yay! I used to live next door to that family.
Did you?
Yes.
There you go.
Not the Ablett's.
Something.
I've forgotten their name. It was Gary Ablett's sister and her husband, who was a very famous footballer.
All right. Not sure.
And now their sons play.
Yes.
You know.
Names in Berwick. Big names in Berwick. Great news in the Australian cricket world. The Australian women won their opening one day against England in Brisbane, taking the Ashes lead to 1-0.
Well,
Vice captain Alex Blackwell, one of our community, was the hero with a 67 not out. Australia won with 5 balls to spare.
Oh,
she's
well
a member
done.
Of the queer community, you
yes,
mean?
She is, yes. A female cricketer.
Yeah, I've interviewed her on The Informer.
Oh, there you go.
Was she a lovely lady?
Very lovely.
Oh, well deserved there.
Big congratulations.
Well deserved.
So the Ashes go to the Coffs Harbour next for the next Ashes game.
Oh, Coffs Harbour?
Yeah.
Is that a good place?
Well, you know what they say, it's the Lords of Southern New South Wales.
The Lords?
Yeah, the
oh,
Lords.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Very fancy.
Is that it, Dave? You finished, mate? Yeah, let's wrap it up.
And that was Dave's Sports Wrap.
Joy.org.au.
Guys, there was a huge marathon going on in Italy this week. You guys were probably across it.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Didn't get a mention in the Sports Wrap, Dave, I noticed, but I thought that was
I thought it deserved
its
own segment.
And you're right.
Yes.
So what's happened, right, we're talking unexpected wins, because an Italian club runner has won the Venice Marathon after the leading 6 runners took a wrong turn.
Oh, no. You can't
took a wrong
do that.
Turn. He's done a Stephen Bradbury, come from behind. He's from 7th. To first, just because some people couldn't read their GPS.
Now,
oh, wow.
Now, I've got a bit of sympathy for him, right? Because I was in Venice, and Venice is like a rabbit's warren. You could get lost in a heartbeat. Because, you know, Venice, there's no cars.
That's underwater, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's not under yet, but some of the city. You know, there's canals all the way around. It's a bit smelly.
Is it?
They don't tell you that in the brochures.
No.
It's a bit smelly. I was on a gondola for my birthday.
Bragging.
Thank you very much. And we were going around and it was beautiful. It was absolutely stunning. But I did notice that I didn't want to touch any of the walls because there's all like these little creatures, like all like yucky things. And they're all on the walls
what
everywhere.
What sort of creatures?
They look like, you know, like those little... grey, crunchy, leggy ones.
Crabs.
With a hard backs. No.
Crabs?
Smaller than a crab.
Are we playing charades?
Smaller than a crab, bigger than a slug.
Anemones.
Wood something.
Woodpecker.
Woodpeckers. Little Italian woodpeckers.
Yes. Yeah, they're cute.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds great. If anybody in Venice has seen the Six Runners, are they still running somewhere?
They're still going. Okay, they're checking the canals. So his name was Iob Faniel, and he runs for the local club, and he was 1 minute behind the leaders at the time, but found himself leading when everybody else went missing.
That's amazing.
That's remarkable,
and
isn't it?
Dave and I just give each other a very appreciative look. Can you just say his name again?
I've forgotten it, but I think it was Iob Faniel.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
That's really good.
Now, I did a Google.
Have you ever accidentally won anything, Hunter?
Not accidentally. Always on purpose.
Always.
But very similar to Iob Faniel, I did once do a cross-country race around Acuna Park in Berwick with my high school, and you had to do two full revolutions of the park through the bush.
That'd
right?
be dangerous in Berwick too.
Well, after, you know, I went so slow on the first round that when
it turned
I came
into
out,
a beast.
This is tortoise in the hare kind of story.
Focus. I ran one revolution of the bush, and I went so slowly that when I came round to go past the finish line the first time, everybody thought that I was finishing. And so I just went with it and pretended to finish.
Fantastic. That's great.
Thank you.
In a bit of a circle. Really, what was your celebration?
It really is a tortoise in a hare situation. Anyway, I still came 12th. But unfortunately, 12 was enough to get you sent to the next level.
And that's all you needed.
I didn't want to do that, Dave.
Oh, you didn't want to do it.
I didn't want to do it. Before I know it, I'm bloody at the state competition. I can't run. I came 12th and only did one lap. You can imagine how well I did at state.
So what happened?
I didn't go. No, I just pretended I was
must have clashed with drama, did
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I came home to Mum. I said, oh, God, I've cheated at cross country and it's worked way too well. I'm off to zone. I'm off to zone.
I hated cross country. I used every excuse under the sun to get out of cross country and swimming. The two things I just could not.
How did you go with it, Harry, with cross country? Were you into it? Because I feel like you would have had the enthusiasm, but.
But what?
Don't look me up and down.
Imagine me in my fat days.
Well,
all right?
You said it.
Well, I wasn't that fat at high school, actually.
Oh, good.
Because I was into all the sports. Javelin, shot put, rugby, football.
All the sports.
Yeah. All the ones where you're really, swarthy and stealth. Yeah. I loved cross country, but, you know, I'm easily led, guys, and we know this. And it was at the time where I was assimilating into a new school. So that was at the point where I was still in the gang. So all the girls from the gang were like, we all run together in it. I was like, yeah. Okay. So then we were all running. And then the leader was like, come down by her. So then we went off. And then they were all having a smoke.
Oh,
and waiting for everybody to go past. And then they found a shortcut. Yeah. So we were sort of middle of the pack.
Oh, that's not bad, though. That's still a good effort. I also, once when we used to go to athletics day, me and my friends used to call it canteen day. And we'd just take $20 and we wouldn't participate. And then one day I'd eaten like three pies and a chocky milk and a curly whirly.
Yeah.
And then
and a muffin in there somewhere.
All of a sudden I got overcome by house spirit and I threw my hand up to run in the 1600 metres.
Oh my goodness.
And I only made it halfway and I vomited.
Oh no, the chocky milk everywhere on the track.
That's right, I had to bring out a bag for me. I had to lay down on the field.
What was your message at your gang, Harry? Was it, you know, you either run with the gang
kill or be killed?
Yeah, I think it was run with the gang or you're hunted by the gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that?
Something very similar. I mean, we targeted a lot of bus stops because, you know, bus stops are the enemies to the gang, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and phone boxes.
Yeah.
They really grind your gears just being there.
I haven't had, as you know, I'm a very talented sportsman, so I don't have any similar stories like that. I just generally win because people expect me to win.
You start to win and you do win.
But there was a gifted student award, I remember, in grade 6. Pulling that off with a fantastic win. Now, I'm not.
You pulled him off.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't the most educated student going around, but I was a massive, and this wouldn't surprise you, I was a massive teacher's
suck
pet.
Up.
Yes, a massive suck up. So when it came to giving the.
I was always hugging the teacher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Teachers love me. But when it came to giving the Gifted Student Award of the Year, it came to me, was surprised about 5 or 6 of the.
You hugged it out.
Yeah. 5 or 6 of the students thought they were robbed, and they were because of my charm.
Well, wow. What a trio of revolting people we are.
Joy.org.au.
That's great, Harry. That's what I love about you. You just know how to do showbiz.
Thank you very
much.
You
know how to do showbiz. Unfortunately, a big part
it's
of showbiz.
It's in my blood, because I don't know if you know, my grandfather was in Mary Swansea twice.
That's not really showbiz, though, is it? Local government?
It is. He was in the Evening Post and I on every night.
Was he?
Yep.
Opening this, opening that.
Envelopes.
He used to own the clubs. That's more showbiz.
Oh, yeah. He used to be one of the talent judges.
Oh.
Before.
Click, Click's Got Talent.
Swansea.
Swansea's got talent.
Swansea's got talent.
Because you know who used to judge, didn't you?
What?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh!
When she was on the circuit.
Any chance Harry has to mention Zeta-Jones or Bonnie Tyler?
I mean, I was about to start talking about lying about my age, but here we are talking about Catherine Zeta-Jones and Swansea's Got Talent. So what was Catherine's act? Was she over...
dancing.
Oh, would she do it with a dancing dog or something?
Not with the dog, but she used to do a lot with top hats and, you know, the stick.
Oh,
it was very classy.
Come on down to Swansea, I'll show you a good time. Sort of thing, isn't it?
All of that.
Is Zeta a Welsh name?
Zeta. That's actually your grandma's name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad I asked. What was her full name? Zeta-Jones.
It was. But Holly was, she's still doing her play, right? And they get to ad-lib a couple of bits. And she made a joke, because she knew I was in the crowd, about Catherine Zeta-Jones, and then followed up with Tom Jones. And I could see the exact moment when she said that, and she went, and in her head, she was like, oh my God, they've both got the same last names. Like, it was the first time she'd ever realised that Catherine Jones and Tom Jones have got the same last names. And then she said to me, they're not related, are they? I was no.
Well, speaking of showbiz, guys, everybody knows that showbiz is all about the looks, right? We wouldn't be in this position that we're in, even on the radio, if it wasn't for my stunning good looks carrying the three of us. And I'm starting to feel a slip of age. You know, we talked last week before about me getting Botox.
Yeah.
Well, now I've decided to just start lying about my age instead.
I don't know why it's taking you so long to figure this one out.
Have you been doing it?
I've been doing it for ages.
So we're both 30.
Yes.
If I run into you on Tinder, what age am I going away
from? Oh, so I'm still not lying on that. I think, can you hide your age on Tinder?
Might be harder because...
I don't know.
You're looking at me like I know.
Yeah, I think I'm still 30 on Tinder.
Where are you lying?
I'm lying in person when people ask how old I am. And when people ask me how old I am, I always say, oh, how old do you think I am? And if they go, oh, 24, 25, spot on. Well done. Good you.
You just roll with it.
Yeah, I just roll with it. So it's up to them to decide.
Hell has no place. That doesn't make sense. What I was about to say. I have no time for people who...
What you meant to say was hell hath no fury like Hunter when somebody guesses is age wrong.
Exactly right. When people say, how old do I look or how old do you think I am? That's a cruel game. And you know what? If they say 24, they're lying. Because what you do is you think of what you actually think and then you minus a lot of time off it to be safe, don't you?
So what are people guessing you, Hunter? 33, 34?
Yeah, older. I get older.
Do you get older,
do
you?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Thanks for that joke.
It's because you're probably so tall.
And mature, I suppose.
And also you've had that...
Tall? I don't know about tall. You don't get taller the older you get forever.
Oh, my... Yeah. My granddad keeps hitting his head on the bridge at the moment.
Yeah, no, you don't get taller, but you see some really tall blokes and they're usually in their 40s.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Harry's got any research to back that one up.
You're like, stop looking at me like it doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, my stepfather, he's really tall.
How old's he?
52.
Case closed.
So what have you been doing, Hunter?
I want to know if it's okay to lie about your age, okay? Because I know somebody quite well. I don't want to give away how I
Megan.
Know him. But let's... let's say, isn't it? Just imagine that we sort of live together, right? And he really pushes the boat out.
Morning, Doctor.
Stop it. He really pushes the boat out. You blow my cover. We can't talk about it. He's going to kill me.
go on. We need to hear.
Well, I reckon
Melbourne needs to hear.
And this is just a guess. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I reckon he's carving 5 or 6 years off.
Really?
In romantic situations.
But you know what? I think that's all right. I think it's when it's decades, that's when it gets a bit thing. Like, if I ever went back on the dating scene, I think I would probably take a couple of years off.
Joy.org.au.
One of us, or two of us, nigh on three of us in this room have done it at some point. And Hunter, have you ever been sprung?
I've not been sprung, but I was just remembering that our friend of the tag team, Sean Mulseed.
Oh, Schwanny.
Witchy poo to his friends. He was dating an absolute madman for a while. He was a British guy. They both lived in Melbourne. He was a British guy who I think was claiming to be 24. But after I started dating, Sean started to get pretty sus. And the big kicker was that when Margaret Thatcher died, he became really, really emotional, whereby our calculations, he shouldn't have been alive at Margaret Thatcher time, but he really, really, really cried, yeah. And then eventually Sean asked for proof of age. And so he sent through either like a photocopy of his like birth certificate or passport. Sean's very official.
Yeah. And you have a CV as well?
He had clearly doctored it. Like he'd printed off a little four and tried to stick it over one of the numbers.
What? Oh, no. Yes.
That's what I mean. Like, you can go out on a limb. And I'm speaking to you now, Dave. You can go out on a limb and pretend you're a beautiful youth. But when you get sprung, it's deeply humiliating.
What you need to know your birth date for the year exactly, for what age you're claiming to be. Because if somebody says, oh, what's your birthday? Tell us your whole birthday. You've got to make sure you're trying to calculate like 1987 minus, and you get stuck.
Yes, that happened to me when I was a kid and I was trying to lie to get into the pub. And they asked me what my star sign was. And I had idea. Because I was just changing the months, so it just made me just 18. Yeah. What's your star sign? And I had no idea, but in hindsight, there's no way that bouncer would have known either. Just a blocking technique, I reckon.
Yeah, probably.
So you were like, I'm an Aquarius.
Yeah,
wrong!
Thanks for asking.
I've been lying about my age for a long, long time, but this radio show itself is what's outed me the most. We've talked about me turning 30 quite a lot in the lead up to it. Yeah, now I feel like...
Plus, if you're dating someone, just say I was dating someone, I'm telling them I'm 27, okay, and then I really like them. At some point, you have to fess up that you're really 30, and that's a huge red flag. If you're the other person, getting a lie right in your face that early on is a big red
flag.
Big
I think if you're going to lie, it's not going to be serious.
I remember when I first started going out and I met a guy in my early days. Anyway.
Wow, going way back.
I know, way back. And I met him, and like we were like vibing.
It's not all you're lying about, though, is it?
And getting on, and then like we swapped numbers and whatever, and then for about 4 weeks like we were texting. I met up with him a couple of times, like he was quite fun, he was a laugh, and he'd lied to me about his name.
Oh, that's a good idea.
In what way?
Well, he told me, so he Spud to his friends, he's known as Spud.
Spud up.
But he told me that his name was Simon, but his name was Matthew.
I reckon that's pretty cool. Something I would like to do.
And he's like, babe, I got something to tell you. My name's not really Simon. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's Matthew. I was like, why did you lie about that? He's like, oh, I just thought it sounded a bit better.
Joy.org.au. Now, Dave, moving right along before you say something else that makes me guffaw loudly. On the rundown here, I've got something about you and your ex.
Oh, yes. This is great, actually. So,
hype it up. Hype it up, guys.
Yeah, and then a big...
Gather around the radio.
And a big fizz down. We've been broken up for about three and a half years, I think it is, roughly.
Oh, so a deep ex.
Yeah, deep ex, yep. But I still maintain contact with his family, his mum and sister.
Oh, his mum and sister.
Yeah, but they live interstate, so when they do come down to Melbourne...
What?
I know.
Hang on, well, live in another...
Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, well, they live interstate, so when they make a Melbourne trip, they'll generally try and see if they can make contact with me and maybe... catch up for brunch, or I think we went out for a trivia night one. I shouldn't be saying this. Hopefully he's not listening to this podcast.
Is it a secret?
We do keep it a bit of a secret. But he does...
that's not your fault. That's not up to you.
No. Oh, no. But we do, as you well know, I bumped into my ex at the trivia night where Hunter was sitting at his table.
Oh, yes.
The greatest betrayal of all time.
Yes, you might remember a couple of months ago when I went to the trivia night with the ex.
I thought the greatest betrayal of all time was that you two didn't invite me to that.
Second greatest betrayal.
That was Hunter's idea. So I let it slip that I did catch up with the mum and sister.
Now, when you say you let it slip...
I thought I made sure it did come out.
Yeah, right. Did you let it slip or did you make sure you said it?
Your mum's had a sore hip, hasn't she? And your sister's looking very well.
Oh, I love that blouse your mum's got, the purple one.
Yeah, well, he was very angry at the time that I told him. But he did actually text me a couple of days later. He goes, I'm just going to get over it. I'm just going to get over it and just, you know, handle
it. Him texting you saying that he's going to get over it means he's definitely not over it.
Yeah,
what
probably.
What did he say? When you slipped it in, what did he say?
Oh, he was more...
Sorry.
No, we didn't rekindle. There was a... It was anger.
He was angry.
Yeah, he was disappointed.
So what do you think, Harry? Do you think it's okay to stay in contact with the ex? Because this is a big thing, particularly with mums. Mums often find it hard to let go of a child's partner.
When you break up with someone, you sort of break up with their family as well, and you don't really get sort of that closure. And they were a big part of my life.
A huge part.
As well. And I think, like, if they, you know, wanted to get in touch, I mean, I would love that, but also I kind of feel like I give up the responsibility, you know, those rights when...
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
But you're right, they do play a huge part of your... Are we talking about your boyfriend Simon and Michael, Simon/Michael that you just mentioned before?
Matthew.
Your Welsh Matthew, the lied about his name, is that who his family?
Well, it turns out, if you want a little known fact, that when I was a manager of the supermarket, I had to fire his mother for stealing. When I started managing supermarkets... I was his boss as well.
Joy.org.au.
We have a very special guest on the line now, all the way from Sydney. We have the very lovely, handsome, aka Caitlin Park. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Woo-hoo. Morning. How are you? How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Now, I was saying to Caitlin before, I was like, thank you so much for being up so early and coming on the show. And Caitlin was like, it's not that early, actually.
You would normally be awake at this time, Caitlin, or is it sort of a rock star life? You're getting up at 3 with a bottle of Jack. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I actually haven't gone to sleep. No, I actually have a puppy, a very small puppy, and she gets us up at about 6 a.m. and we have to walk her by about 6:30. So,
all right.
That's the rock star lifestyle that I'm that I'm leading right now.
Now, Caitlin,
totally worth it though.
totally worth it.
Yeah,
you've been away for a little while. We haven't heard you, and now you're back with Handsome. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I went away to write a new CP record, and it was going really well, and I had this concept and blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of things happened in my life, including me sort of growing up a little bit and just sort of personal shifts. And so I decided to start something new and change the genre a little bit and sort of explore other areas. And I guess I could have done that with a Caitlin Park record, but it just didn't feel right. And so, and you know, you may have heard this before, but a lot of musicians and most creatives, you know, have to work from their emotional side. We have a lot of feelings. I just decided to do something that had a bit more, that sort of embodied the music a little bit more. And so Handsome was born.
I like the idea of that. I think we should all have a chance to do a rebrand, you know? It doesn't have to be related to an album. You could just decide one day that, you know, that I was done with the current Hunter and give myself a rebrand.
Would you be more...
I think you bring up a really good point, actually, because the way that I sort of saw it was like, you know, how many people in their lifetime can butterfly the way that you can? And you really do have that ability in art, and I think that you do even more so these days with... you know, the immediacy of social media and all those kinds of things. So why not?
You're a butterfly. Well, we're just stuck here as caterpillars, mate. That's the problem.
No, but, you know, I mean, it's true. You know, you don't usually get to do it so in your personal life. So why not do it in your creative one?
So you said that you're calling Handsome tomboy pop. Sort of, can you describe that for us? We're going to hear a bit of it, but give us an idea.
I guess I wanted to describe it as something that, just was a bit different, but tomboy is kind of me. It's very, it's all about the attitude, I guess. It's about, and the style is kind of, I don't know, it's a bit bolder. It's a bit, I wouldn't call it aggressive, but it just has like a swagger about it. And it reminds me of all of the tomboys and androgynous people that I know. So I thought that I would brand it as that.
Our young Harry here was a tomboy growing up in Wales.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a song about joining a gang to help Harry out?
Oh, you guys. Caitlin, I accidentally joined a gang once, all right? That's all that happened, is I accidentally joined
a
gang.
That's amazing.
And the boys will not let me forget.
Was it called the Tomboy Gang?
It was actually called the Click Click Lions Crew. Thanks for asking. Now, maybe that could be the next rebranding. Next time you could come back with a bit of Welsh gang warfare.
I think that's a great idea. The funny things about gangs is that I think growing up and even like a part of you when you're older, there's still something kind of romanticized about it. There's still like, oh, I really want to be a part of that, you know. And I'm like, gangs obviously have a lot of, you know, negative flack about them, but I think there's still something about it that's kind of romantical. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think like, you know, if you get in the right gang, it's quite nice because then you've always got that feeling, you know, around you. It's like you know that you've got each other's backs regardless.
Exactly. Exactly. Well,
and
I mean, I guess
tail.
it's Well, it depends what kind of gang, but I mean, there is that sense of community, and the video that I put out for Late Night Ball Game actually, I actually talked a lot with the co-directors and the DOPs and stuff about gangs and the fact. Because we were trying to visualize an idea of the queer community, and so I was like, "Well, let's do it in a way that you know, there are these five really close friends and they're kind of like a gang and, you know, you can't be a part of it, you can't be a part of it, but we're this sort of insular and very, like, close group and we find strength out of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And Late Night Ball Game is your new single featuring Joyride, and it's number 19 on the iTunes Electric charts at the moment, so congratulations.
It is. Thank you very much
for that. And we're going to play that single now, and you just touched on what the video is about, and we thought maybe you'd like to introduce it because we're going to play it now on Joy.
Yeah, cool. Great. Well, this is the debut single for Handsome. Late Night Ball Game was co-written by Joyride and myself about 2 years ago. It finds itself in a huge amount of relevancy at the moment, obviously because of the stupid same-sex marriage postal vote. And it's actually written about a friend of mine that came out as trans. And it's sort of a homage to the queer community and how close and amazing we are, but also the trials and tribulations that many people go through as gay and queer kids coming out to their loved ones. And so this is Late Night Ball Game on Joy.
Joy.org.au.
Oh, I've been off the
oldie.
What is this?
Oh, you stole mine.
This is usually where we talk about our nans, but Dave, it's a Dave edition, so you're going to talk about your granddad, right?
Yes.
What's his name again?
Alan.
Alan. What's Alan's been going on with granddad. Alan Beckett? Not
no.
Alan, not another Beckett. Name.
Yeah, another name. I've been screening his calls a little bit lately because what I've noticed with the grandparents is that they're not a short, sharp, conversational type
people. No, not at all.
If you're going to commit to a phone call, it's not a quick 2-3 minute phone call. It is a good 20-25 minute
Correct.
Phone call.
And with mine, it's not a traditional conversation either. It's more just of a listening for me.
Yeah, that's right. And I feel like you cover all the bases. Like, you always ask me the same question. Like, how's your car going? How's cricket going?
How your car going? How's your car going? Yeah, that's such an adorable granddad question.
Have you spoken to your mum? All blah, blah, blah.
There's literally nobody in my life. I could speak to everyone in my life for a full hour and no one would ever ask, how's my car going?
Oh, that's such a great question. I really like it. But,
how is your car going?
The car's going great. Goes into its first service this Thursday.
Oh.
But he's been saying, why aren't you picking up the phone? That's why he has a concern. I've got two phones as well, personal and work phone. He's going, I'm calling both of them.
He calls both?
Yeah. Why aren't you picking up your phone? It could be like a big deal for work, you know. It could be ordering something or something.
But can't you tell that it's him?
Well, I do, yeah. He doesn't know. I don't know if he understands that your ID, granddad, comes up on my screen.
Right. So you're never thinking it's a big customer.
No. But what it is that you back to that, you've got to commit to 25 minutes. So if he calls at a wrong time, I've got to keep ignoring it. So poor granddad, he's just thinking, what's going on?
Yeah, last week I ignored Nan 3 days in a row, so then I had to answer just to say, I'm ignoring you, but I'll call you back at a more appropriate time, Mon. You know what I mean?
I think what they need, the elderly need, a bit of tech. You know, sending a couple of text messages, how are you, Dave? Blah, blah,
text
blah.
Messaging, yeah, that's a great idea. You know how you weren't going to use text messages, just acting it out there with your hands? That's not great for radio.
Not great for radio, but we might check up on the socials, why not?
Yeah, my nan's not bad on the text.
Really?
Yeah, she's quite good. Sometimes she just sends like 9 or 10 full stops, but she can do it.
Really?
Yeah, she can do it. So get him on it. Why don't you go down and do a lesson? You might need a phone with a big print. But
the thing with my granddad is that every time he needs to put a contact in his phone, he'll get his little handwritten notepad out that he's got a phone number on there, and he'll go, Dave, can you put that into my phone and put it under, you know, Hunter Joy Tag Team or something.
Oh,
you know?
I mean, he can call me if you like. Why don't you say that? Say, listen, I'm too busy to take your calls, but my very kind friend and colleague Hunter, he'll have a chat with you. Because my car's in a world of strife, so we've got lots to talk about.
Just maybe don't mention to my granddad how I know you, Hunter. Maybe just don't mention that part.
What, not on the radio?
Gay radio.
Oh, right. Oh, he doesn't know about that, does he?
He's not up to speed with that.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, well, I hope he's not listening now because he's in for a shock.
Just stumbling across 3AW and comes across Joy.
Name and last name. That was our very first edition of Man Talk.
I'm going to chef.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.